Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY. Purposefully loving and appreciating you. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
hold you back from living life.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to chew on my feet right now because I wanted to sing along to that song. But I just wouldn't even dare to do that right now. It would be a wrong time to sing along with that song. So I'm just going to chew on my fear. Swallow your fears, Life Coach Ade sing. Nope, I don't care what you do, what you say. I'm not singing. But, you know, I do that. Let me do what I do best. Let me do what I do best. John Stringer is in the house. Kathy Stringer is in the house. And so if you're dealing with that woman, you're just like, well, I don't do relationships. It's just too complicated. I don't understand, man. I don't understand a woman. Swallow your fears. But if you can't do that, just hold on. We're bringing you wonderful, my friends, my family, I just love them so dearly. But I'm going to keep doing my show because when I start talking about them, I probably won't stop. But I know you didn't come to listen to me. Of course you did. Of course you did. John and Kathy are just the icing on the cake today. Swallow your fears. That State of Man, of course, John Stringer is the lead singer of that band, that group. And to find out more about State of Man, not John Stringer, well, it's him too. But you can go to, I feel like I'm nervous. Go to John and Kathy, their house. I'm like, oh, my family are here. Stop watching me. Go do something. So anyway, stateofmanmusic.com is their website. You can download your own special songs or go to iTunes as well. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You do. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you are here. You make a difference because you're part of this wonderful game journey called life. And what you're thinking, what you're doing right now, what you're feeling is causing change in the world. So if you don't know it, let me remind you that you make a difference. And we thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. I am your host, Life Coach Ade. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. So remember that. But, you know, that's the official time. We usually finish with the guest around 1:20, 1:50, 1:20. But sometimes we play a little bit longer because the playground of love, of transformation. So sometimes we go longer. But, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm excited. Today we are talking about marriage as a spiritual practice. Really? How is that possible? Well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. I won't say too much. I'm just saving my questions, my thoughts for John and Kathy. And just be prepared to be inspired. Inspired to ask yourself some real questions. Questions about authenticity, about honesty. About what you really believe about love. What love, what does love mean to you? Does your life reflect that? You may even be challenged to go after what you want rather than compromise, rather than just live life from a place of obligation. Well, I guess I gotta just settle for this. We also have the option to choose what we desire, choose what we want, go after what we say we want. There's more of that to come. Let me give you some announcements. Yes, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad if you have any questions or comments. I want to share your stories. Or maybe you're just challenged in your relationship. Maybe you're not married. Maybe you're getting there. You've been proposed to, and you were all excited, and then you saw some married couples, and you said, oh, my God, what did I do? And you need some help. 347-426-3346. And also, we're taking your questions on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach Ade fan page or like page on Facebook. You can post your questions there or your comments on there. We'll get to it. If you don't do Facebook because you're blocked or you're at school or work, you're too busy, you're moving around, and you just call in. But if you can do Facebook or you just haven't, don't have an account, you can go to Life Conversations lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and there's a tab there, and it says, Ask Life Coach Ine, because he knows everything. Trust me, he does. Try him. There's nothing he doesn't know. But, you know, today he's got a special guest. If you have any questions about marriage, just click that button, and I'll all get to your question. And if you don't want us to mention your name because your husband is in the other room or your wife is on the way home, that's okay. We won't mention your name. We'll just call you. Yeah, we'll make up a name for you. What else do I need to tell you? 1 o'clock today, we have the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. So stay tuned for that. 2 o'clock, we have Here to Inspire with Aisha. And so for those of you listening for the first time, Celestial Moment is a segment that happens during Ask Life Coach Ine show. Here to Inspire with Aisha is another show that happens at 2 p.m. every Wednesday. So make sure you tune in. Today she's continuing the conversation about aromatherapy. Another show we have on the network is My Authentic Lifestyle. My Authentic Lifestyle with Mo Love this Sunday. That is every third Sunday of the month. So make sure you tune in and be inspired, be transformed. And this is the radio network that inspires you, supports you in being the change you want to see, because that's how you make the change. You see, you complain, you judge, you whatever, criticize. But the best way to take control of your life is simply be the change you want to see, because only you know really what you need and what you want, what you desire. So do it now.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let's see. I think that's everything. Have I got everything out of the way? I don't know yet. I feel like there's something else I need to do, but I can't think. Well, I'm thinking about it, but I don't know, so I won't worry. Today we're talking about marriage as a spiritual practice. Oh, I see a typo in the description. We got to get to that. So before I bring them on, let's just do this. Let's just breathe in together. Breathe in the breath of life. Breathe it in and breathe out. Breathe in one more time. Relax, everybody. You too. Yes, just because you're working on me, you can't breathe in now. Breathe in the breath of God, the breath of life, and breathe out and relax. Just release all the thoughts, all the stuff you're carrying in your shoulder. Just shake it all off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Well, now that you're feeling grounded, and if you're still not feeling grounded, keep consciously breathing in. You know, and just feel the presence move through you. And listen to this.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for that, Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook, Carly Jackson. Yes, this is the month of love, relationship, and abundance. And today we're talking about marriage as a spiritual practice. So Kathy's a passionate mother and author. I can see her smiling and blushing right now. And, of course, John, as you know, is a recording artist, a songwriter. This man, there's nothing he doesn't know. You know, and if he doesn't know, he'll just take a deep breath, take a moment to be still, and then he will have the answer for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful friends, my family, myself, John and Kathy Stringer. Yay, excitement, excitement. Oh.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, thanks. That's great.
John, cut
you guys
that out.
Me?
John, cut that out.
that was a little bubble response. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, yes. It's so nice to have you guys join me today. I've been looking forward to this show. And, you know, I have a lot of female listeners. Most of them have been looking forward to this show, but they didn't want to tell me. But I'm psychic. I'm intuitive. I know what they're thinking.
That's great.
So let's get this party started. Well, see, there's a thing. Let me see. I'm going to go to, I have a question I got to ask you both. I read a tiny, tiny, introductory bit about Kathy and John. You know, they come together as a package, but they also stand whole in their individuality. But I want to ask you this question, Kathy.
Okay.
Who is Kathy Stringer? Who are you?
Who am I? Well, I am God is who I am. I'm completely and totally willing to be and earnestly trying to be connected to God in every moment. So through that, I am blessed to be the best wife I can be, best mom I can be, best friend and daughter and all of those things. But the number one first thing I am is God.
God in action, God in expression. When we recognize our oneness with the divine, we can live it out. Well, you know, I said your husband knows everything, so I got to ask him a trick question. I can't ask him the same thing. He's probably taking a breath. So I got to ask him something else, but I'm just going to set it up the same way. So, John, I read a little bit about you and your wife, Kathy. But I got to ask you, from your perspective, from your point of view, who is John Stringer? Who are you?
Who am I? I like Kathy's answer. I am God, but and I'll add that I'm still exploring who I am. And still learning and getting to know who I am, expanding and becoming more authentic of who I am. So that concept, God, that idea, that extension of source and all of that, I'm still experiencing it. But conceptually, I can tell you all of it. You know, I'm God. I'm an extension of source. I'm spirit, having the human experience and all that stuff. But a lot of it I'm still experiencing. I'm still expanding and believing, learning to believe that I'm all I need to be as that extension. So that's who I am. And I seem to be getting better at it. some days I'm better. Some days I wish I were better, but I've learned that I'm exactly who I need to be. So I don't complain.
I like how you phrase that. Some days I'm better. Sometimes I wish I was better. That's smart.
Yeah.
Well, Kathy, what's it like to experience those days when John wished it's better?
You know what works really well with us? I feel like when he wishes he was better, then that is really a time for me to inspire him to be better. Mm. You know, it seems like in times where he may be struggling, or I may be struggling, that the other one always seems to have the right thing to say, just the best hug in the world, you know, whatever it might be at that moment. So in those moments, I hope that I'm here to inspire him to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They remind me to do what I got to do to get along. That's the
true.
Other good tip.
So let's keep the conversation. And I want to tell you this. Let's just keep this open for you. You know, if you're feeling something to share, just jump in. Though I have some questions for you as I facilitate and guide the conversation. But I want to ask you this. You know, at the beginning you talk about being God, being an expression of God, being an expression of the divine. And when we say marriage as a spiritual practice, it is important for people who are seeking to get in a relationship, be married, or just understand themselves enough, the foundation of who and what they are. And so I want to ask you, and let me throw it to Kathy. You know, for somebody who's saying, you know, I want to have a beautiful relationship, I want to get married, I want a wife who can inspire me when I wish I am better, I want to have a partner who supports me, but that God thing, that thing that y'all talk about, that part I just can't do. What would you say to somebody like that who is struggling with understanding that there's so much more than what they see in the mirror?
Well, I would say for me, you know, the reason I think that John and I have such a wonderful spiritual practice is because I got clear on who I needed to be first. You know, I really, as much as I wanted the perfect husband, the perfect marriage, you know, I decided that I was okay just as I was. And although I put that out to the universe that I wanted it, I came back to being okay with who I was and really, you know, tried to get myself in a place every day where I'm joy just on my own. As much as John is, you know, my husband, I know that I am okay right here by myself. So that's something that, you know, I think a lot of people are out there, you know, if I had the perfect man, my life would be this, or, you know, if my husband was this way instead of this way, then I'd be filled with these feelings. But ultimately, for me, I learned through my first marriage, you know, I learned that I had to be able to be okay with who I was, no matter who I was with, and find the joys and the passions that fill me up separate from them. And then I bring so much more to the table in our relationship. So that would be what I would say, is really get clear on who you want to be, what fills you up, and focus on that, and the rest, you know, will fill itself in.
I want to ask you a question, actually, because you've kind of gone to where I want to go, just talking about when you have to find out who you are. And, John, before I do that, though, do you want to add anything to that? Because I want to go
back. Yeah, I was going to say.
Go ahead.
This is something that recently came up for me, is that it actually happened a little differently for me, like, because I've heard that advice a lot about get clear or work on you, become who you need to be first, etc. Then you'll attract what you want. Well, the irony in our relationship was I was miserable with relationships, period, and got clear on what I wanted externally. The values and the different things, wrote it all down, and 3 days later, Kathy and I connected, and it was magical. But I was nowhere near spiritually where I eventually got. And in fact, that was a catalyst in getting me there, our connection. So the irony is, I think it can happen the way Kathy's talking about, but I also think it can happen the other way. Like, it's confusing. I think you and I have talked about this too before, Ade. Like, I don't know if it really comes down to, hey, you have to work on yourself first and become this, that, or the other before you can attract that partner. Because in our case, I attracted Kathy by getting clear on what I wanted, and she helped that relationship help me become who and make the changes I needed to that I was afraid to make. Or
right.
That I wouldn't step out. Like, I knew I needed to redefine my relationship with God, per se. I knew I needed to get back on a spiritual path, but I was nowhere near that when I wrote these things down. And that was partly because my idea of a spiritual path needed to change. So she helped. This relationship helped me do that. I don't know if that makes any sense, but the point being, it's really hard for me to really see how it has to happen. Because both Kathy and our process were different in attracting each other. She worked on herself prior to.
But you know, also what I hear what you're saying, and because sometimes it's easier for society, how it's set up, how we have set it up, because we are this society. We are that. We are the people we talk about. You know, it's sometimes easier to start from the external. But what I heard and what you said is, something happened, you were miserable, but that misery caused you to get clear about what you want. So, and I think, you know, sometimes that we don't always recognize the power of a decision to just get clear for a moment, for an instant. That instant now sets the ball in action, and everything else, God, the universe, just takes care of the rest. And so I thought of hearing it, you know, it's like differently, because they kind of go together. Now, we're talking about this beginning where you were miserable, and Kathy said, now, wait a minute, I need to learn to stand on my own, because I can't do it like this anymore. So let's go to the beginning. I'm going to start with the female. Kathy, tell us about the beginning. How did it all happen?
the beginning, well, let me go back. You know, for me, I had at the time, the beginning, I was with someone else. I was, you know, when John and I first met, I had a boyfriend who I ended up marrying soon after I met John. And in the beginning, John and I were just not, I wouldn't even say we were friends, we were acquaintances. You know, we knew each other. We met, strangely enough, I won't go into the long details of the story, but we met at a, you know, as y'all know, John is a singer, and just so happens that my ex-husband is also a singer, but that's because I've been in the music business for 17 years. But anyway, and we met at a singing competition where John was actually competing against my then boyfriend. Anyway, so we met at this place, and I'll say, well, you know, my ex-husband won the contest, but John and I started on, from that day forward, on an amazing journey to where we had no idea we were destined to be today. And so we met, and from the first moment I met John, I just always remember just having a good feeling about him, just a very positive, honest feeling about him. I didn't really know him, but I always can recall that when we would see each other from time to time in the 7 years that we were just acquaintances, and I was very much in love with my ex-husband. So that time went by, and you know, I won't say unfortunately. Fortunately, my that marriage did end, because it took me on the journey that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. But you know, when it ended, it was tough. It was challenging. It was unexpected. I was torn down to my core of, what am I doing here? Who am I if I'm not, you know, this man's wife? Because we had been together 12 years at that time. So through that, through, you know, kind of just being torn down to my core of knowing, okay, here I am. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm asking why. I'm the victim. Why is this happening to me? I have a beautiful 1.5-year-old daughter, and all of a sudden my life that I thought was wonderful was just destroyed. And somehow in that place, I decided, you know what, I am going to become a better and more wonderful, giving, generous person on the other side of divorce. And through making that decision and my yearning to learn and change and be open, I, you know, I'm very grateful that I got to a place where I felt great about myself. Like, I didn't feel like I was empty anymore. It didn't happen overnight. It took a little bit of time. And through that, I created my own list, you know, maybe 2 months or so before John and I connected. And I just remember clearly that one of the number one things on my new list was honesty. And my old list would have been sense of humor. You know, it was very important to me to laugh and be silly and have fun. And I still love to do all those things, but I realized that having a partner who's honest is the most important thing to me. So, you know, when I don't know if you want me to tell you the 11-11, I mean the 11-7 story where we danced, or you know, are you
well,
ready?
This is just the beginning. Yes, we can't tell them all at once. We got to tease. This is a great story. Because I don't know the details, and I have to be careful not to say too much. Because I know the story. So, John, beginning. What was your beginning like?
So the beginning for me, when we met at that, it was a great little spot in Atlanta called Eddie's Attic. As Kathy mentioned, fun competition there. I remember meeting Kathy and her ex-husband at the time, or her then boyfriend at the time. Remember meeting them, going up to them, and finding out that they went to Georgia State, they were in the business program and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. You know, they got a relationship, and she was in the music industry. And I remember later finding out after they got married, because I actually became a fan of her ex-boyfriend at the time, or her boyfriend at the time. He was an amazing musician, amazing singer. He just pulled off an incredible win at this actual competition. I won't go into details, but he did like this a cappella thing against a national instrumentalist and ended up winning the whole thing. It was just brilliant. So I was a huge fan of his just because he was so talented. And once I remember they got married, I found out Kathy was managing his career, and I just had so much admiration for their relationship. From that standpoint of, you know, I wanted to have somebody in my life one day like that, that got the music business, understood it, you know, we could work together and all that stuff. I just thought that was such a cool thing, right? So that was kind of the beginning. I followed Jeffrey a couple of solo shows, went to a couple of events, and never got to see his full band, but just stayed in touch via email. So I found out later that Kathy was the one even answering his emails, but I didn't know this at the time. But as a manager, she was doing that, so it was kind of ironic. But really, where we, as she said, we were just associates. Where we ended up connecting was after their divorce. I found out through a friend that she was going through the divorce, and she and I ended up meeting a couple of different places. I was dating somebody at the time. Well, dating multiple people at the time. I was in open relationships, let's call it that. And it was so
and
funny
you,
because...
And you probably were openly crazy, too. Because
yeah. But they were all... They were all open and honest relationships, but they all ended miserably. So that was part of the reason I got frustrated and wanted to get clear. But I would see Kathy around town at different events. And we finally, after I got out of my last relationship, she and I ended up talking, I think right outside of my job. She was running a music conference in town, and that's another thing. Kathy was a big deal as far as in the music industry, so I also admired the fact that she's running one of the nation's largest music conferences. And I just thought that was such a cool thing. So any time we bumped into each other, it was always friendly, and we had great rapport, but it was never a romantic type of interaction. Like, it was always just very cool and friendly. And I always walked away with a positive feeling too. Like, man, she's cool, and that was as far as it went for a long time until that night. So, and that night was after I did that. 3 days after I did that journal entry of what I wanted, and got clear of all the things I hated about the relationships, the open relationships, even the closed relationships. Let's just call them. And the qualities that I liked in those past relationships, what I disliked, and the opposite of what I want or what I really wanted from those dislikes. Once I got clear on all that stuff, something popped up in answer to my earlier question. Like, I couldn't resolve. Well, why did Kathy have a different process? Like, where she worked on herself first, then got clear on what she wanted, then we found each other. Whereas I got clear on what I wanted, then ended up working on myself. Well, the reality is I did do some work on myself. Those relationships that got me frustrated gave me the contrast to get clear that I don't want to go that route anymore. But also, in both of our cases, our desires were the things that sparked from that contrast, or from, you know, having a relationship like this that ended sourly. And had, so the desires were born from that contrast, and those desires are what actually lead us to ultimate solutions that we don't even know. So it's almost like the spiritual carrot that's being, like, we've got this fuzzy desire that's being launched. We see, ooh, you know what? I don't like addiction. I don't want to deal with that. I want somebody who is addiction-free. I want somebody who's got integrity, who's honest, who's this, that, and the other. You know, all these desires are being created, whereas those desires aren't what we're really seeking. Isn't like, we see that as the external embodiment of, hey, we want these kind of qualities. Really, those desires are bringing us to a new relationship that's going to help us get what we really want. The real solution is the internal. And so in both of our cases, Kathy started working on the internal, then got clear on the on what she wanted to embody externally, but that was just the spiritual carrot to lead her to a relationship that was going to continue to help her develop internally. Same thing with me, just a little different. You know, it's like I wasn't really working on the internal as much, but that external desire led me to what eventually made me work on my focus on the internal, made me go back, so which was great.
Right. It's an interesting point you brought up. As you're talking about, I just had this awareness that, you know, this is not the same for everybody, but, you know, the feminine, the females are more inwards. You talk about the woman's intuition, the mother's intuition, not that male have it too. We're all intuitive, all of us, but there's something about females being, that feminine energy being on the within, when you get into that place to get clear, and the masculine energy, man, representing the logic, the outwardly, the expression of the knowledge. So it's kind of interesting as I listen to you too. I'm going to take a quick break, and I can't wait. I'm just so excited. I'm so excited, like I want to give my listeners a gift. We're going to talk about the dance. That moment when what just happened? Anyway, we should take a break. If you're just joining us, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. My guests are Kathy and John Stringer. We're talking about marriage as a spiritual practice. Because when you get clear about who and what you are and what you want, you don't have to worry about what society says about married. You can create happiness for yourself. As a matter of fact, some of us spend time trying to create a marriage, if you will, build our relationship based on other people's belief system, their moral values. You've got to take time to be with self. We're going to take a break. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Just thinking about it, next thing we're going to talk about, I'm getting all chills. Woo! I'm grateful. I am so grateful. We're also taking your questions on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Yes, indeed, we're giving a voice back to the community. We're activating the community. Global community's voice, your power, your sense of expression, that throat chakra to express who and what you are. We are all here to express the divinity that was in the beginning. How are you loving your life and how are you living your life? Welcome all of you in the chat room on Sunday. My brother, welcome. Nice to see you. Joyful time of joy, vanilla smiles. And we have a lot of silent listeners. Folks want to know about marriage. People want to renew theirs. They want to keep this fire burning. We have a lot of people on the phone line. Thank you all. And do share the show with your friends, your lovers. Share it with your partners, actually. Share it with your husband or your wife. You know, the husband that you really love, but they get on your nerve. Get them to listen to the show. Say, oh, look what I came across. You may want to listen, but if you don't want to do it live, you can download it through iTunes and let them hear it. But anyway, I don't want to cause no trouble. I'm all about love. It's all about reality love. My guests are John Stringer and Kathy Stringer. We are talking marriage as a spiritual practice. And we were talking about the beginning, how it all came down. The breakdown before the breakthrough. So now we're getting ready to where two or one came together and joined in love. But so I want to go to Kathy. Let's talk about the dance where it all happened.
That would be July 11th, and our which I call falling in love anniversary is right around the corner, July 11th. But it was just any random night. I was out with my friends at this club called 1150, which John and I have a lot of 11s in our lives, so that was very significant for us. But as once I said, it was July 11th. So I walk into this club. It's packed. There's people. You know, at this point, I'm really honestly enjoying being single. I really had not been single most of my life. I was always that type of person that was always in a relationship. So I was with my girlfriends having a great time, and I'd see John, and it was kind of like just seeing an old friend. I hadn't seen him in, I guess, a couple of months. And we just, you know, walking up the stairs, just walked off together, went and just literally talked for what seemed like about 4 hours. I can't tell you. It was a long period of time that we just connected and talked and shared. You know, I shared, you know, what I had been through, and he shared what he'd been through with his relationships. But it was still just that, you know, connection of, man, this guy is really a great listener, has some great things to share, and it was just so comfortable. And his buddies that he was there with were consistently coming up and grabbing on him, let's go, and he was just blowing them off until finally, you know, they were his ride, and they made it pretty clear, you're coming with us, and we're leaving. So we said our goodbyes, and at that moment, my close friend was standing there, and I just remember saying underneath my breath something like, you know, I really want to dance with that man. Or I think I may have said, I really want to dance with that brother. Something like that. I said something that alerted my friend, that but I didn't mean to. But she just off, and I, you know, didn't pay any attention. She was gone, and turns out she went and grabbed him before he left the club. She did not even know him and just said, Kathy wants to dance with you. And he said, you know, hey, I got to go. I can't dance with her. You know, my friends are leaving. I can't stay. And she's sweet, sweet girl that she was, said, hey, I'll give you a ride to your next location. You know, stay here. And I remember she took his head and just turned it towards me out on the dance floor and said, go dance with her. And he did. So he's coming, walking towards me, and it was just one of those moments where I was just, you know, so elated, like blissful, like joyful. And we just, in the middle of Club 1150, have you ever been there? It was packed, and it was, you know, hardcore dance music, people going crazy. We just connected like it was, you know, a waltz, you know, tied around each other and danced for literally until the club closed. And in that time, all we did was dance, but it was such an amazing connection. I'd never felt anything like that. It was like all of my worries, fears, concerns, you know, what does this mean? This guy's a musician. What am I doing? I just left a musician. All the things that would normally be going crazy in my head just ceased, and I just was present in that moment and completely connected to another person like I never have, just like that spiritual, soulful connection. I don't know if John wants to jump in and say anything before I tell the whole story, but that was, you know, that was the beginning on that dance floor of just taking a risk for me, you know, just saying, you know what, I'm not going to be thinking about what anybody's thinking. I'm just going to be here and be in this moment and be as present as I think I've ever been.
Mm. Yeah, and that was very, very much the same for me. Well, when we danced, it was just, for me, it was magic that I'd always hoped for, and even that night when I got clear, had written. After I wrote the list, I remember being frustrated still and thinking, man, I wish it could just be like what I believed it could be like as a kid, that love, that magic, that love at first sight, but not because of the visual. I had even wrote a song prior to even Kathy and I connecting, wrote a song that talked about it won't be the way she looks, it won't be even what she says to me, it'll be her soul speaking to me that will make me know who it is. The song at first was called Soul Speak, then rewrote it and called it something else. But the point, that's it, yeah.
The point,
that's funny. But the point being is, that night, that's exactly what happened. We ended up connecting, and it wasn't words, it wasn't looks, it was us coming together dancing, and something on a spiritual level just happening, and it felt incredible, present, blissful, and magical, and confusing when I walked away from it.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because the song that you're talking about, Spoken, when Kathy told me about it yesterday, I said, oh yeah, it'll be good, because I was looking for a song that I can play to surprise both of you. But it's kind of hard to ask the song from you. There's nobody else I can ask but you. So how can I ask without letting them know I'm trying to do some kind of trick, radio trick? And she said,
oh, he was like the song. She said, you may want to play the song. And I was listening to it. And the part when you said he won't be her personality, he won't be her something. Just the lyrics, it was like, oh, my God, because it's what you told me about what it was like when you met her. It was beyond, oh, it was out of this world, literally. And it's just like,
yeah.
Wow. Yep. And play a little bit of it.
Okay.
She was waiting for you. Everything was happening in y'all's life to bring you to this moment. And it's funny because in the song, and you wrote that how many years before you met Cassie?
It was actually about a dream that I had, but I can't place when I had it, where I woke up after the dream and I knew I had seen the woman I was meant to be with, but I couldn't remember what she looked like. But I knew I'd seen her, and it was like that moment of recognition. It was such a real dream, too. I mean, not like a regular dream where you like, oh, wow, that was a weird dream. It was like it was that knowing dream. Like, when I woke up, I'm like, oh, my God, I saw who I'm going to be with, you know?
Mm.
So that's where the song was born from. Like, I knew when I found her, it wasn't going to be a facial thing because I couldn't remember what the person looked like. It wasn't going to be the stuff they said. It was going to be a spiritual connection, that, you know, something magical. And so that's what happened. That was it. But the funny thing was, I was so densely rooted in my thinking, conditioned thinking of, who she is and all these old pattern thoughts, you know, who she is being a conference manager and the fact that she had a relationship, that I didn't want to be the rebound guy and all these fears and stuff. I was so rooted in that. That magic moment was enough to wake me up to say, whoa, get my attention. But I still walked away confused. I was still like, what the heck just happened? You know, like, what? It wasn't like, looking back, I always wonder, man, why didn't I see immediately? Oh, this is the one. This is it. Mm. You know, this is it. I was more walking away like, whoa, that was amazing. What was that? Whoa, I'm a little scared of that, you know. So it took us a couple of weeks before we even reconnected after that time. But the good thing is we finally got it, and the funny thing is, this is something during the break we had, I got, was that really every external relationship we have are really coming to us from where we're at internally. Like, we're attracting all those things based on where we are eternally, based on that. I like the way Abraham Hicks says it. She has that concept about your what is it called, sweetheart? Your escrow, or your energy escrow, or you remember what it's called?
Vibration. It's not called
vibration,
me a sweetheart. I'm just jumping it. Vibration or escrow.
Thank you. Yeah, I was talking to Kathy. Sorry. I call you bro, just to make that clear.
Well, you know, you've been talking about open relationship. We want people to be clear.
I know. That's true. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but yes, we don't have that relationship. But that vibrational escrow we create through experiences we have, every relationship is brought about to help us get to the inner, to help us get to developing what we really authentically want to be, what our souls are here to be. So every single, no matter what we're how we're vibrating, that contrast that's created is teaching us, oh, you know what, this doesn't feel good. Oh, wow, I'm still not feeling good. Oh, wow, I'm sick of not feeling good. I want something different, you know. So it's like the experiences Kathy and I went through, both, even though they look kind of differently, even at the onset of this call for me, as I'm trying to get clearer on it, it really just boils down to life is designed to get us in a place where we are living blissful lives, where we are living the purpose that our souls have brought us here to be, where we're being loved, but not in just like the phrase we often give is limitless love, where we're here to be limitless love. That's what God is, limitless love. That's what Source is. That's what our divine nature is. But how that expresses is so many different things for us, oftentimes in unique ways. How that expresses in Kathy's life now is her passion of health and food and nutrition. How that expresses for me is through music. How that expresses when we are together is through learning to communicate better, learning to forgive each other, learning to, or seeing ourselves through each other and healing the misconceptions we've learned over time or adopted over time through other relationships, through childhood, whatever, you know. But getting to experience that healing journey together is not only what we share in our relationship, it's what we share in all relationships, it's what we share in life. We all, everything that exists, we get to share in that journey together and learning how to heal, learning as these individual representations of God, learning how to be more of who we really are, that limitless love. And that is life. That's what life is. That's what the expansion is. That's what the contrast is. And we get to practice it very, with great power through our marriage, because the marriage puts two people together. It's a choice we make to unite, and it really allows us to change and to grow and to have those moments where we find out where we have blocks and resistance, blocks being those places that make us, you know, we get angry about things, you know. Well, that's a block of love. That's blocking our natural state. That resistance of, you know, when she does this, ooh, I get upset. Well, that's just revealing a place that needs to be healed. And it's not really her. It's something in me, whether it be my past, whether it be other experiences I've had, or some lie I've told myself and convinced myself, some false belief or illusion I've attached to that it shouldn't be this way. And then I begin judging her. When in reality, I've learned now, when that happens, take a good look at myself, because it's coming from me. Why do I have this resistance? What can I heal in myself? Where is it coming from? And take time to get quiet and heal that. And so it's a beautiful relationship to develop the inner and grow together. But the beautiful thing is when we're aligned individually, we see our relationships. Kathy, you can tell me if this is the same for you or not. I think it is. But when we are aligned, we see our relationships magnificently. I mean, just to define aligned meaning when we are being loved, when we are forgiving, when we are letting go of these resistant feelings, and we're in a place where, you know, we're of a high frequency, like we're living our passions, we're grateful for life, we've forgiven, there's nothing we're holding against each other and all those things. When we're in those states, man, our relationship is just like the God's gift to life for us. When we're not
like our dance.
When we're not, that's when we're not in a forgiving places, or even if it's in other areas of our life, it's not just us, but in any areas of our lives, when we're not forgiving the resistance that's coming up and the issues, we're not dealing with the things that life is helping us see, and we're not healing those things, and we're not practicing gratitude, and we're not practicing open communication or different things, that's when we're not seeing our relationships as that God's gift to life, you know, and we begin to devalue it. But that's the same thing in anything or in any relationship. there's a great book out now. A friend of mine, Alan Schaefer, recommended. A lot of business people are reading it. I can't remember the name of it, sadly, but it talks about being out of the box, and the whole point of being in the box or out of the box. The whole point is, I liken that to alignment. When we're aligned, we see things with the eyes of love and source, and we don't hold it against. We don't judge, and things are beautiful, and we're grateful for it. We see the good, you know, or see things from a perspective of good, and the opposite is we see it from a perspective of bad. We can see the faults in people, or, you know, their illusions, but that's all we can seem to see, and that's how we feel.
Right.
I'd love to give a practical example of that very recently, if you're cool with that, Ade.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
By the way, before you do that, the name of that book was Leadership in Self-Deception. Go ahead, baby.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, we had a family day planned. We're taking the kids to Six Flags, and before we left, you know, it was kind of a high-stress morning trying to get everybody ready, and John and I had a moment of disagreement, misunderstanding, where, you know, we weren't communicating very well. And, you know, it was one of those moments where we either could have, you know, given into anger, because we were both angry, and I could see it in him. I could see that anger rising up in him and feel it in me. And, you know, we both, luckily, because of the practices and what we put into place, were able to stop, you know, and not judge each other and listen to each other's perspective from a place of non-judgment and understand. Mm-hmm. I understood where he was coming from after we had the conversation. He understood where I was coming from. And when we left to go, we were so much closer to each other than if it had never happened. I mean, it was just, and it wasn't even a big deal. He wanted to go work out beforehand. I was like, what are you talking about? I got all these plans, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like any huge crisis, but at the same time, it was one of those typical disagreements that a husband and wife might get into that could have ruined the whole day. Because he was ready to bail. He was ready. He was like, I don't even know if I want to go. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, after her reaction, I was like, oh, man, what the heck? I don't even want to go now.
Yeah.
Like, man, I'm bad. So the funny thing is the way we stopped and reset, like she had stepped out of the office, and I said, sweetheart, can I talk to you for a minute because the kids were around. She stepped back in the office. We sat there and just talked it out, and I wasn't the most aligned expressing it, but I tried to express how I felt. I didn't say, like, you did this and you did that. I said, when you did this, how you think I feel? I feel like blah, blah, blah. I feel like blah, 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 you know. Trying to show my perspective of where my feelings were, and then trying to get to the bottom of, well, why is this happening? Because it was confusing to me, as I'm sure it was to her. She was confused as, well, why would I just go and leave when we're on a tight time schedule and this, that, and the other? And I'm confused of, well, she knows when I go work out, I only do a 15-minute workout. I'm going to be back in time to leave. But neither of us were communicating all of this. And, you know, she ended up communicating, well, historically, here is what has happened, and I don't want that to happen in this case. And I was able to communicate, okay, now I get it. Now I get why you reacted that way. No, that's not what I'm doing. I didn't give you all the information. Let me explain. This is what I'm really going to do. You know, it was just a communication issue of, okay, where am I? And, you know, even had I not been planning on being back in time, that would have given me the chance to adjust and say, okay, I'm sorry. I'll make sure I'll cut it short or not go or check in and see if I need to go after all or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the point was, because of our we didn't just walk away upset and ignore it. We dealt with it the best we knew how with the tools we have, and we're able to get to a place of alignment again. And it was necessary. And when it started, the other funny thing is, when it started off and I was talking to her, I think I even cussed. I was so upset, man. I was mad. I was like, that hurt my feelings, man. What the hell? You know, but,
I've learned so much through other relationships that, in, you know, and I know as a woman, you know, we take things personally sometimes, you know, we feel hurt over things that have no intentions of hurting us. So, you know, I think John and I have gotten to a point where through trial and error, we have found a way to, okay, we just have to stop, get centered and then just say our piece, but listen to it non-judgmentally. That's really, for me, the key. Like, if I hear what he's saying instead of thinking about what he's saying and how it affects me, mm-hmm. well, he didn't think about me and blah, blah. You know, that's been a big, you know, just as far as marriage as a spiritual practice, that to me is a practice that he and I have been able to do. And every time we do it, we are connected to each other more. If you would ask us, you know, when we started off that conversation, you know, I was heated, he was heated. We would have never thought, okay, this is going to lead us to where we have a embrace and look in each other's eyes and then grab the kids and go have a great day. You know, I wouldn't have said that that was going to happen because of the practices we put into place. You know, we were able to do that and, you know, learn that, okay, that's what we need to do every time. Every time that
Indeed. I mean,
you guys probably only ever. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you talk about non-judgment, and that's the thing. You know, that, you know, they might be listening saying, but how did you get there? And you guys talked about it at the beginning. You have to individually, in a relationship, romantic, marriage, business, we have to individually do our own inner work to be able to.
Right.
So, I mean, I tell my listeners sometimes I have to coach myself when I start tripping about things going on in my life. I'm just going to say, okay, stop. Just stop. Just stop. Okay, if someone else that you know is dealing with this, what would you say to them? I have to really just face my own self. And in a relationship, we've got to face our own selves. And Kathy said, you know, rather than just think about what she thinks you're thinking and making her judgment based on that, to just kind of slow it down and say, I want to listen. I want to hear what's going on. And it's easy sometimes because it's challenging, but it's easy for people to just say, oh, I can't take it. Men are like this. Women are like this. Oh, you know, we just judge people and leave them there. And what we do, we end up missing the blessing, the gift of that moment to get closer. Because once we are able to talk through the challenges, the cussing and all of that, you know, we are reminded, as you two are sharing, you are reminded of how much you love one another and the blessing and the opportunity to be able to say, yeah, I was mad, but we also had time to sit down and talk about it, you know?
Right. And and here's something to clear up. The intent of even in the expressing what I was saying with a cuss word, the intent of it was to get to the bottom of, or to get to the solution of, okay, something is wrong. You did this. It made me feel this way. But there's obviously something going wrong here because I'm not feeling good. You're obviously not feeling good. I don't understand. What the hell? You know, something is
oh, that's
is
what
amiss.
You call a cuss word? That one, no.
That's it. But I don't even know what I said. I said S-H-I, you know, the other word. But the point being, I think it's important whenever we go to have those conversations, I do this at work or whatever, of setting the intention to do it through love, because a lot of times you can end up having a conversation where you're just trying to be right and there's ego involved and you're going back and forth. And, you know, it's tough to be completely aligned in love when you're feeling upset. That in and of itself is telling you, hey, there's an issue. But that's necessary.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You have to have that feeling of anger or ticked offness or whatever and have to be honest with it to heal what's going on. You can't just pretend, okay, I'm going to be spiritual and ignore this and act like it's not that. No, it's telling you there is something wrong. You need to deal with it. Let's deal with it and deal with it the best way you know how, whatever that is. And you'll get led to those answers. But one other thing I think we have to point out is in both of our cases, it wasn't that we just sat down and got clear and decided with our logical minds, blah, blah, blah. We both were ultimately tapping in, but in different ways. You can tap in through prayer, through asking God, help me figure this out or lead me to the answers. You can tap in through taking that. I think you can unintentionally tap into God, unintentionally pray in all kinds of ways. And I think the process I was using was really getting in touch with truly who I was. That logical process told me what's really important is that feeling that I wanted and that inner feeling that was important to me, that real innate desire. It wasn't just these external qualities and things, even though there was a feeling attached to those that I wanted to experience. It was also this ultimate spiritual connection that I wanted to feel, that bliss that, you know, that we often romanticize, but the reality is we're here to experience those things. We're here to experience those kind of vibrations, those emotions, that bliss, and it's real. And we can experience it moment to moment. We just got to learn how. And that's part of what marriage does for us.
I want to do this. We're going to take a quick break because it's time for a celestial moment. But when we come back, because I want to talk about how do we get there? How do you get to that place where when you're both frustrated and you can sit down or find a way in your mind, in your awareness, in your consciousness to say, let's talk about it. Because some people, they're upset, they're angry, and they just don't have the button to activate to say, I should say, let me tap in, let me ask God. They maybe storm out of the house and say, you always do this, and they ruin their whole family day. But before you go to, before you answer that, let's just let you a moment. And when I come back, I want to tie in two things. I want to talk about the moment where you and Kathy, sort of going back, it was important, when you and Kathy, when Kathy said, honey, no, I don't know if you guys were calling yourself honey then, but it's kind of like, no. I don't think I want to do that. The fact that made you shift and say, okay. And I want to tie that in with date nights, because you guys have date nights every week. And so, because for me, I want to go back there, the importance of being honest with oneself and nurturing the relationship. So we're just going to take a quick break. We're going to do Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and we're going to continue that conversation. If you're just joining us, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. That's the official time, and the shows can be downloaded because it's archived. If you miss anything, you can listen again. It's on iTunes, Life Conversations Radio. If you have any questions for John or Kathy, make it quick, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And if you don't press 1 on your keypad, I'm just going to assume you're listening. Now, I've got to read this. So, Kathy and John, Tamara on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page said, Tamara, spiritual midwife, she said, love state of man. Kathy and John's story is an amazing story of joy and love and showing up in their true, authentic self. She's grabbing Kleenex. No, she didn't. I'm adding that to it. She said, their story is real. I love it. Thank you for sharing your beautiful dance. And then Donna said, wow, he needs to be cloned. So Donna wants to clone you. Oh boy, we're gonna just shift into Celestial Moment, and we'll come back and tie it all together when Kathy said, "No way, Jose, I want you all to myself or not at all." And now from that, they get to have date nights and just do all beautiful things to support them in dealing with conflicts. Now, right now, it's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And yes, Celeste, how are you doing?
I am great. I love John and Kathy. Ade, you're all right. I'm just kidding.
That's okay.
I'm so shady. No, but really, I have to thank them real quick because while preparing and listening to them, actually before them, I heard Dog and a Butterfly by Heart, and I came up with a game. I'm not going to tell your business, Kathy and John, but I can tell you, if you are animals this year, with the lessons that you're learning this year, who you are, and Dog
Ooh.
And the Butterfly. I know, it's brand new. Thank you. So there's so much that I have that I want to hear from you, so I'm going to go right into it, but I just wanted to let you know I've got that gift in my back pocket for the both of you. It's great.
Cool.
Okay, so anyway, good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Wednesday, June 13th, 2012. Add the date and you get 2031. Add 2031 and the energy of the day equals 6. 6 is ruled by Venus, and she has sure been making her presence known to us in a mighty way this month. So let's receive her gift of beauty and creativity deep within our bones. 6 is also the snake in medicine cards, and the snake teaches us to shed our skin to receive new life in the transmuting power of fire. 6 shows up as the Lovers in tarot, and we've already learned to attract the love we want by blending our yin with our yang to walk into wholeness. The 6th letter of the alphabet is F, and words like friendship, fantastic, and fun connect us to the divine power of 6.
Today, we're going to put a spotlight on the sixth abyss from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot. On my card, I have a couple engaged in the act of giving and receiving love through the sacred healing art of a massage. A nude woman can be seen placing one hand on her partner's head and the other on the small of his back. Remember, nudity in tarot speaks of unconditional love for yourself. She shows herself with an open heart. Trust is present on this card. Her partner lies down on a mat of yellow. Yellow represents power from the navel solar plexus chakra. He is also covered with a red blanket, which focuses on security from the root chakra. Both are free to give and receive love physically and energetically. Now, take the focus off of the couple. Imagine that you represent both the male and female on the card and get ready for new questions to rise. Do you know how to energetically massage yourself? How is your ratio between giving and receiving? How deep is your love for you? The six of this reminds that we have a duty to touch ourselves so that we may actually embody the loving exchange on a card with another. Until these questions are answered, we give from a place of depletion, and that energy feeds no one. So take the time to touch yourself with beautiful music, clothe yourself in affirming words and people who will challenge you to show up and be yourself. Treat yourself to freedom today and be the abundance you want to experience. Lovingly wrap your arms around yourself. Place yourself in your own hands before you throw yourself into the arms of another. Grounded love in action asks nothing and yet gives so much in return. Nurture you, and you'll get more when you ignite your own love story. All is well. And that's the story of six through the six of discs in Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you on Thursday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's so good right there, boy.
Awesome. I mean, just the way Kathy and Joan does things. You know, you come on a day when the number adds up to six lovers and loving one another. And I'm looking
Gotta
at the time. I want to have the conversation about when Kathy said, oh, no, homie, I ain't doing no open relationship. I don't know if we have time. But, okay, because of time, I know, Joan, you got to go and Kathy got to go too. So, I don't know. I'm going to go to Kathy first.
I can put it in a nutshell. I can do it pretty quick.
Yes, that's what I'm coming to you for.
My beautiful baby, he likes to express in long, beautiful words. I can be short and quick. So, after this amazing dance, and John and I start dating, and, you know, we're just like, whoo, we're in La La Land. This is the best thing that's ever happened to either of us. So I am, of course, thinking, this man only, you know, we're only going to be with each other. You know, that's just my natural inclination is that, you know, we're going to be just together by ourselves. And so I mentioned something on the phone, and John's reaction was, well, I thought, you know, since you've been married so long and you're just now out of the relationship, that you would want to experiment. You know, you might want to see other people, and I might want to see other people, and, you know, we can still continue to build this relationship, but let's see other people. So I was devastated. I just didn't even know how to react. I was shocked. And because I was scared of losing him, I said, okay. I said, all right. I'm not really sure about this, but okay, we'll do it. So that night, I did a lot of soul searching. So, I mean, I just didn't, the energy, the love, the excitement that I was feeling was waning. And I talked to my sister and I talked to, you know, myself, and just decided this doesn't feel right anymore. I cannot do something that doesn't feel right. So I decided to, you know, swallow my fears, if you will, and called him back the next day and said, you know what, I really like you and I really want to, you know, be with you, but I can't be with you if you're going to be with other people. And, you know, it was scary for me, but I decided to risk it. So John, I think, was shocked that I changed my mind, probably disappointed that I changed my mind. But he did respond and say, you know, I appreciate where you're coming from, but I'm just not ready to make that kind of commitment. So we left it as we will be friends. You know, let's just have a really good friendship. So in the next couple of weeks, our really good friendship, of course, is spending every single moment together. And, you know, but you know, without the passion and those kind of things. And you know, within those 2 weeks, at the end of those 2 weeks, I just remember John looking at me and saying, you know, you're the only one I want to be with, and I don't want to be with anybody else. So, you know, for me, taking that risk, being vulnerable, you know, really saying, okay, I know who I am, and who I am can't do that. Who I am cannot be with him if he's going to be with other people, no matter how much I like him, how hot he is, how wonderful his relationship is, that's not me. And I was so grateful that I took that risk, because obviously it as you can say, 9 years later, it was the best decision I ever made. What do you think, baby?
I have to agree. I'm so glad you took that risk, too. I wasn't glad in the moment, but I definitely became glad afterwards.
So, Joe, when she said, "No, I'm going back on what I said. I can't do this open relationship thing," did it send shockwaves through your body and make you go, huh?
Yeah, I was shocked, but I think I respected it. Like, it's hard because I honestly forgot we ended up just being friends for 2 weeks after that. So my recollection it is 100%, but yeah, I do remember that now. But the point being, her standing in her truth, I totally respect it, and I'm grateful she did that, because it stopped me from that cycle of getting in open relationships and them ending miserably, because, you know, for me it was just a horrible experience. I mean, there were benefits and there were good things, but it never ended authentically, and it wasn't really what I was looking for. But just that our friendship for those 2 weeks helped me experience really what I'm looking for is this. I don't need all that other stuff. So, it helped me get clear.
Yeah, and that's an important story, because there are people who get in a relationship and compromise themselves. They go against what they're feeling. They go against their intuition, and they know, but as Kathy, she says, they're like, well, I'm scared of losing him, so I'll just go along. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years later, they're miserable, they're regretting their choice, rather than pick it up in the upfront. And, but it takes work. It takes work. Now, when we talk about taking work, you guys, every week, have date nights. We'll end it on this conversation. You have date night. Can you tell us why you have date night, what it means to you, and how, you know, whatever you want to share about your date night experience?
Can I take this one first, baby?
Sure.
Okay. You know, for me, I think it's so important. We're about 7-Eleven. We'll have been together 9 years. To continue to do those things that we did in the beginning when, you know, we were dating. And we would get dressed up, and we would be romantic, and we would do, you know, thoughtful things, buy flowers for each other. You know, those things made us feel good. And I think as you get in a long-term relationship, you don't feel like you have to do those things anymore. You know, we're married. We don't have to win each other anymore. Not that it's winning, but it is winning in that it makes you feel good. So every Wednesday, whether it is we have the money to go out, if we don't, we will, you know, last week we weren't able to go out, so I just put some candles out on the deck, and we sat out there and, you know, drank wine and talked and just enjoyed the evening. But we all always set aside that time to be with each other. And, you know, I'll make that special effort to make sure I get dressed up and, you know, pick a romantic place and things that, you know, you do in the beginning. And it just still keeps that passionate love alive in our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she nailed it. I think too, we've learned how to go within, how to get guidance on what's best for our relationship. And the bottom line is, we even ask about how to spend our money and what's best. So if we're at a time in the budget where money needs to go elsewhere and we need to save some money, we stay in and do it. But I think we've just gotten to that point where we keep growing and keep learning better ways to foster our relationship and keep that romance alive, that initial connection, and that's one of those tools.
Yeah, and you know, you two talked about acting guidance. From what I know about you, that's one of the strongest foundations. You two really being able to ask God, ask for guidance on what to do, not just what you, John, think needs to happen or what Kathy needs to happen, or you don't know, you're not here to do this, or you don't really know. It's like, okay, let's just surrender what we know. Let's not try to be right about this. Let's work on being happy, because some of us hold on to being right rather than being happy.
That's exactly right.
We can all ask ourselves when there's a conflict, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Now, you've got people who are control freaks,
would say, I want to be right and happy. That's on you. But, you know, there's so much I can ask you guys, and I'm aware of time. I want to, I don't know if you guys can listen to this. John, you may know about Deborah Johnson, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, and Kathy knows about it, too. And this chapter, for me, it's really, when I read it, it's such a powerful, it's not even a whole chapter, it's a paragraph, and I want to read it for listeners, just to, you know, another reflection, another perception, another view of what John and Kathy are talking about. And in this book, it's called The Sacred Yes by Deborah Johnson. And it's kind of written in the format of, what's it called, Conversations with God. And it says on marriage, marriage as a holy relationship should bring people closer to me meaning God. Ultimately, a marriage, like any holy relationship, should bring the individuals closer to me. Ultimately, in a marriage, that individuals are able to practice with each other the best of their spirituality and are able to heal with each other their deep places of human woundedness. Ultimately, in a marriage, the individuals understand that the love that they have for each other is merely a representation of love that I have for each of them. In this context, they're really learning how to be spiritual beings in the world and essentially practicing on each other all of the spiritual disciplines that they will need in order to evolve into an awareness of themselves as a Christ. With each other, they are learning about forgiveness, commitment, communion, fellowship, service, the sharing of joy, nurturing, support, and all of the other things that are necessary in order for one to be fully actualized in his or her higher spiritual awareness, which I lovingly, in this moment, refer to as Christ consciousness, not to be confused with the personage of Jesus. And you two definitely leave that out. You know, you use your marriage to go deeper, to recognize yourself as spiritual beings. And I am so, so grateful to know you guys. The things that I see you guys do that I don't even, it's not like I'm watching you, but maybe I've seen you guys resolve conflict. You know, there's some people you just know, oops, they're having a disagreement. You guys would just be like, no, what I really saw was, and it's just calm and quiet and just like, wow, just kind of dealing with it. And the way you interact in public and just who you are, I'm really, really grateful that, you know, God, Spirit, Divine One, the Divine Intelligence brought us together. And I'm so grateful that listeners will get an opportunity to learn from your story. So on that note,
thank you,
so
brother.
More. You're very welcome. If there's anything else you want to leave with the listeners before we release the show?
Last the burning thought on my mind, that tapping in, learning how to listen to that voice is the ultimate solution to all relationships. Mm. Bottom line, that's what we use.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead, one Kathy. Thing I would love to leave would be, you know, I remember so clearly on our wedding day when we did our wedding vows, and it was a big risk for me to take to write my own vows and read them in front of everybody, but I so remember thinking and saying that I want to inspire John, I want John to inspire me, and I want us to inspire everyone we meet. And it's just stayed with me since that day, but that is really what I hope we are doing for each other and for everybody else.
Yeah. Mm.
So the dance that brought you together was more than a dance, huh?
Yes, sir.
It was more than you wrote a song about that, didn't you, John Stringer? What, did you write it?
Wrote a song about it. Want to hear it? Here we go.
Yes, here we go. More than a dance. Thank you, Kathy and John. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
Mouth of sound, the march and step within. that song on the State of Man CD. You can go to their website, stateofmanmusic.com. More than a dance, I know, you know, there's so many thoughts running through me. But I know that some females say, I wish I had a man who could sing a song and sing to me, but guess what? You got what you got. And, you know, here's the thing, yes, I'm sure that somebody who listens to this and says, I wish my husband was like John. I wish my wife was like Cassie. But the thing is, the person you're with, you're meant to be with them. Cassie and John did the work. They saw their union as a spiritual practice. They're not, I won't say they're the chosen one. They did the work. We are all the chosen one. The question is, are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to do the work? And if we're willing to do the work, we will reap the benefits. We will understand that love is everywhere evenly present. And I trust and know that this conversation today has inspired you to do love differently, to do your life differently. And even if you're not in a relationship and you're looking to be in a relationship, just be fully aware that you can create the same. You've got to be true to yourself. Even if you said, yes, I want to do what you asked me to do, but later on you have that moment with yourself to be still and meditate and pray and say, wait a minute. No, I don't want this. I want something more. So don't be too afraid. Don't be too afraid to lose what you think you need, or and you end up giving up yourself. You know, I encourage you to listen to the show again. And I just once again want to thank Kathy and John. It's been a beautiful show, a beautiful expression of love. And the truth is, whoever we're with, we're meant to be with them. Even if you're divorced, what did you learn from that experience? How did you become a better person? And you've got to be willing to do the work. You're here to do the work. So stop sleeping and wake up and let your life be a spiritual practice. And when your life becomes a spiritual practice, you reap the benefit. You can be more authentic. You can be honest. And you can be love. That's your true essence. That's who we're created to be. Love, both. We have to unlearn some of the other stuff that we were taught by our parents, society, religious institutions, spiritual institutions. We have to unlearn and say, God, what do you want from me? What is your idea of yourself for my life, God? And when you walk in that consciousness, life will be so much more than you can put in words. A dance will be more than a dance. And you'll be able to swallow your fears. And you can speak your truth. It's time to release the show. Oh, my God. I am so, so grateful for you listeners. I'm grateful for this moment called now. And, you know, life is good. Even with all the challenges, life is good and it's getting better. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I'm getting ready to release the show at 2 o'clock, about 20 minutes from now, roughly 28 minutes to be precise. Aisha is coming up for a show, Here to Inspire, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in for that. She's talking about aromatherapy, Life Conversations Radio. We help you to go within and learn and support you. We've been given everything we need to help us in this journey called life. God in its infinite intelligence knew that you're going to need some help. Aromatherapy, the healing power of smell, of nature, of the plants. I am so full, I am so grateful. What song do we want to play as we leave? Let's see. I don't know, let's make it a State of Man moment. Let's just play another song, my State of Man. I was going to play Leaky Byers. I was going to play, yeah, let's see. Let me tap in. Okay, State of Man it is, State of Man. And she's saying, what is that tap-in thing they keep talking about? Well, tap me up on Facebook. Tap John or Kathy up on Facebook, and we'll tell you what tap-in means. Because when you tap in, you're turned on. And when you're turned on, you always remind yourself to tune in. You remember that you're one with the one, you're one with God. Let's see, there's so many choices here. Oh, here's a one to play. I just love it how God works. And good thing, you know, when you open, this is a perfect song. This song is called I Have Forgiven, State of Man. You've got to let go of all the mess in your life. How do you let go of the mess? You embrace it. When you embrace your mess, you get the message. When you get the message of the mess in your life, guess what? You become the messenger of love. But you've got to forgive
I don't care what you say, you've got to forgive. And true forgiveness is self-forgiveness. Be love, be true to yourself, and allow the love to come back to you. Be loved. Stop by forgiving. State of man, I have forgiven. I'm out of here.
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.